Well, since the real groundbreaking with bulldozers and all got started this week, we thought that maybe it was time for us to start working our way through the house piece by piece and sorting through things and seeing what we needed to clear out so we can work on that for the next several months. And I was digging through this bookshelf upstairs in one of the back corners of the room, and well, you're not going to believe what happened. So I saw this old-looking book, and on this spine, it had kind of this ancient calligraphy written on it. And in that ancient calligraphy, it said, "Super Book," which it sort of reminded me of this old TV show that I watched as a kid about Bible stories, but it didn't look at all like a kid's book. And so I grabbed it, and I pulled it out. And I opened up this book, and I know this sounds kind of crazy, but what happened was I suddenly got sucked into this swirling vortex of rainbows and shooting stars. It was kind of this psychedelic 1980s Japanese anime all over again. It was pretty terrifying, to tell you the truth. In fact, it was maybe the craziest thing I've ever experienced. And I was so confused, and I was so disoriented, I didn't really know what was going on. But before I knew it, I realized I was on the ground, but not inside. I was outside, and I was next to some tent in some wilderness-looking area. And I don't mean some Coleman camping tent that you could pick up at Target. This tent was a whole lot more old school than that. And then I noticed I could hear some voices inside the tent. And so I crawled up a little bit closer to the tent to try to hear if I could figure out what was going on. "Moses, we've got to talk about this," a woman's voice said. "Really? I mean, come on, there's no way they could forget," one man's voice said. And then there was this third voice, also a man's voice. "No, Aaron, I think she's probably right. We do need to do something. I mean, have you noticed how dense they are?" "Well, sure, but there's no way they're going to forget about that night. I mean, the blood on the doorpost, the dinner, and then those screams off in the distance? Are you kidding me? I'm still having nightmares." "Oh, stop being such a baby, Aaron," the woman's voice said. "You always had nightmares growing up, but they won't remember. I mean, I was just talking to Joe the other day, and he's already forgotten about the whole Red Sea thing, and that was just last week." "Miriam, he's right. I mean, these people are dense," the third voice said. "I think, you know, even if they don't forget, their children will forget." Well, you can imagine that hearing that little bit of conversation made my head start to spin and my heart started pounding. In fact, I thought I must be dreaming here, right? Like maybe I'd sort of passed out from some of the leftover toxic mold dust that had built up on that book from the house. It would sort of explain the psychedelic stars and rainbow business. So I tried to wake myself up, but didn't really work, and I think it didn't work because I wasn't dreaming. And I know you think I'm all crazy here, but I'm telling you, this happened. There I was hearing this conversation and these names, Moses, Aaron, Miriam, in a tent, talking about that dark night in Egypt. And who knew, right? Like, who knew that the three of them sat around in some tent trying to figure out how to get everybody to remember? But that was the conversation I was overhearing, and around they went about our need to remember and to keep remembering. And you know, the more they talked about it, I started to think about the word remember, and it's two parts, remember. Because the way they were talking about it wasn't really just recollecting something that had happened in the past, but when they said remember, it was as if they were talking about participating in it again, becoming a part of it again, being remembered back into what had happened. And in a way, it sort of calmed me, because as I thought about that, they didn't feel like such strangers anymore. Because I thought, you know, maybe I'm out of place here, but I realized that every time I had remembered, I had made myself part of them, with them, putting myself back with them, becoming a member of this ancient story, this ancient people. You and I, we are remembered into it. Well, before too long, they started brainstorming about how to remember and what they should do. And it was the most fascinating conversation. Should we have a special dance to remember? Aaron asked. I mean, maybe a circle dance for Kevin. That would be really fun. Nope, no good. Why not? Because white people can't dance and we just don't want to leave them out. And in that moment, I knew why I loved Moses so much. Well, we could make it a meal, Miriam said. How about a memory meal? Oh, I like the sound of that. Aaron sounded pretty eager here. I mean, we could have roast lamb and lamb chops and rack of lamb with goat cheese and goat stew cooked in a nice red wine sauce. And you know, then maybe we'll have some fresh baked bread the way Mama used to make it. And for dessert, how about baklava? Aaron, Moses had to cut him off here. That's way too much. No one in the world could afford to eat like that, not even Pharaoh. You're right, Miriam said. How about just bread? Well, now you might be onto something. Why bread? Aaron asked. Well, because everyone likes bread, right? Well, not everyone. What about all those gluten-free people? Well, too bad for them. We'll stick with the bread, Moses said. He sounded a bit exacerbated by all this. But I found the conversation quite fascinating. In fact, I wanted to watch what was happening here. I mean, it was so incredible. And who knew when I was going to get a chance like this again? So I looked over and I saw the small tear in the tent where I could kind of peek in and begin to watch this. Fine, we'll go with the bread, Aaron caved. But let's at least make it good bread. How about some Asiago cheese? Oh, that sounds nice, Miriam said. Or maybe we could have bread stuffed with goat cheese and rosemary olive oil basted on top. You guys are missing the point, Moses jumps in. We're remembering, remember? Let's just use the same bread we ate that night. Well, a bit of silence followed that one. It was, in fact, one of those really awkward kind of silences. Aaron and Miriam, they looked at each other, and then they looked back at Moses like he was a bit crazy. Seriously, Aaron says, unleavened bread. That's how you want to celebrate each year. I mean, you've got to be kidding. That stuff is so plain and ordinary. I'm not kidding, Aaron. Miriam sort of sighs. Being a shepherd all those years sure did change you, Moses. Aaron looks a little crestfallen because he knows he's not going to win this one. You are such an ascetic sometimes. Well, at this point, my mind started to wander a bit. I was thinking about how really spiritually intuitive Moses was, making the meal out of the most ordinary thing there is. Because if eating ordinary bread invites us to be remembered into this ancient story, then you have to wonder, how else does the ordinary remember us into God's great salvation? And then it got me thinking about the incarnation, that the almighty, mysterious, holy one slips into ordinary skin. God enters the ordinary human body, and all of humanity now is remembered, made part of the life of God. Somehow this ordinary remembers us and puts us back into the body of Christ. We are remembered into the body. Of course, there is no way Moses was thinking about the incarnation, but it was a stroke of brilliant spiritual intuition on Moses' part. In fact, you might even say it was inspired. Because if ordinary bread can open me up to God's presence in our world, then so can everything else that is ordinary. And suddenly the whole world becomes sacramental, full of grace that is flowing to us in our lives. An ordinary leaf out there turning red can begin to open me up to God's artistry, can open me up to God's transformational work in the world, God's transformational work in me. The ordinary sound of a baby crying or of children laughing, it can open me up and become the sound of God's cries and the sound of God's laughter echoing still through our world. The ordinary work of cleaning the dishes can become sacred moments where acts of service and love can break me into this moment of connection with God's sacrificial love for me, reminding us of our deepest reality. See, it's in those moments we are remembered, put back into the life of God. And I was thinking about all of that when I realized that they were still sort of arguing and trying to figure out the details of this whole thing. 7 days, that should be about right, Moses said. And Miriam agreed, 7 days every year, just to remember. Aaron, though, he had another thought. You know, we may need more than just a meal, he said. Well, what do you mean? We need to tell the story. Doesn't that go without saying? Miriam asked. No, we need to say it out loud again and again, or it's just going to become another family ritual. And I could see Moses kind of pondering what he was saying, and he starts to nod his head. You're right. We need to keep telling it to each other and to our children and to our children's children. Yeah, and don't forget Joe. He definitely needs to be retold, Miriam says again. Okay, so we need to tell the story, Moses says, but I think we need to always tell the story in the present. So when we have the meal, every generation will say the very same thing. It's because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And Aaron sort of smiled at that. That's beautiful, he said. And he looks over at Miriam and sees her eyes kind of lost in wonder with a slight grin on her face. And he says, what is it, Mir? And she said, it's just that we've been in Egypt for so long. It's hard to imagine that we're actually free from that place. I know, he said. And I'm picturing my grandchildren and their grandchildren saying the same words, living in this same moment with us. It's because of what the Lord did for me, they will say, when I came out of Egypt. And then all three of them started to sort of say it to themselves. It's because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And it was really this sort of beautiful moment to watch this tenderness between Moses and his sister and his brother. And so I just kind of leaned back from the tent for a moment and I began to say those words to myself. It's because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And I sort of said it again and again as I thought about some of the Egypts that I've been in my life. Some of the circumstances where God has come and taken me out of maybe my own kinds of slavery. Some of those places where I have felt trapped or maybe been trapped and didn't even recognize it. Or some of those times when there was sort of a deep kind of oppression on my soul, those seasons of life that brought a profound sense of uncertainty about the future. It's because of what the Lord did for me when I was brought out of Egypt. And as I thought about those things, those voices in the tent started to grow a little more distant, and I started to feel a little more dizzy again. And before I knew it, I found myself on the floor of my study with this ancient book sitting on the ground next to me. True story, by the way. In fact, I was going to bring the book in here and show it to you all, but I thought I would just keep it safe and keep it a secret for now. So please don't go tell anyone about this, okay? This is just between me and you here, not for anybody else's ears. Besides, you don't really need to see the book to know that it's true, do you? I mean, all you have to do is look over at this table with these ordinary breads from all over the world. Because you see, more than 1,000 years after that conversation there in the tent, Jesus was gathered with his disciples in an upper room, and they were celebrating that same very meal. And then that celebration of the moment, I imagine that they also said, it's because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And as they were celebrating the meal, they were being remembered with the ancients together, living into God's great salvation story that had happened over 1,000 years earlier. And it was, you know, on that same night that Jesus took the bread and he said some new words with that bread. He broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this and remember me." And in the same way, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my salvation, in my blood poured out for the salvation of the world. Do this and remember me. Bring me into your presence. Become one with me. Remember me." And for 2,000 years since that night with Jesus and his disciples, people from all over the world have been breaking that bread and saying those words. And so as we come to this table this morning, we are reminded that we are being brought together with people across time and across our world. We are being brought together with Moses and Aaron and Miriam, and together we are remembered into the life of God. We are becoming members in the very body of Christ. Because you see, for all of us, this is because of what the Lord did for us when we were brought out of Egypt. This is for the salvation that we have been offered and given every time we have been brought out of Egypt. And so as we get ready to sing a song to prepare our hearts for this table, I want to invite you to be prepared to not just come and take and eat, but to be remembered into the very body of Christ. Let's sing this together.